Welcome everyone, episode 3 of Road to Comrades. We're not that far. Wayne will probably give us an accurate, probably even day or minute to the gun goes, but we're into really the meat of this big sandwich. So April is pretty much going to be the biggest month, and then half of May of your campaign towards Maritzburg. The distance was released, the cutoffs were released. I'm sure that'll come up in conversation. And that's how you kind of know that it's getting pretty real, because there's not much now that else is a mystery. There is a bit of a slight course change. So we'll kind of go through that as well, which came out. Bit of information if you got want to start in a slower pacing pen, which has never happened before, we'll chuck in. But also let's just talk about March. Pretty limited timing. Got these guys at short notice in the last 24 hours to get this episode done and dusted. So hopefully we can give you something to listen to before they come back next month to recap it. But welcome Wayne and Margie. Marnie, might call you Margie then.
Oh, you can call me that. I'm actually named after my auntie that's called Margie, so that's fine.
And to show how we're squeezing this in, Marnie is on the way home from work, so it's become a regular thing. It shows how normal we are as well. So we live normal lives. There's no pro athlete life here. So that's how we kind of hope that you guys can relate as well. Marnie, you want to kick us off and tell us how March was, and did it work out, how you set to achieve it? You were planning to do two races. You've done one. Throw that all in.
Yeah, so March is injury free, which is awesome. No pain. I've started to build up, so I've had the last 2 weeks about 100 at 160. Started off, and I can definitely run more than that, but Dick's limiting me. I started off the month with Orange Marathon, and the plan was just to go out at 3-hour race pace. That was what Dick wanted me to do, and then had lots of running in the legs, so picked up the pace the last 10K and just finished with a 2:58. It just gave me some confidence to be able to maybe hold that pace for twice, maybe. We'll see. I've just built from there, just as I said, two 160K weeks, and then on Sunday I'm going to do Canberra Marathon with a similar plan. Just as training runs, I've started to add the hills in. So after speaking to Wayne and you, Erwin, I'm trying to find as many long climbs as I can, and I'm feeling really good about climbing. I'm climbing really well. I think the gym is helping with that as well. And I think it's all coming together. I'm feeling like when I'm running, I'm always thinking about running. Like I'm doing a lot of 30K runs, 35K runs, and just feeling really positive about the build. I think that's about it. That's it in a nutshell. We've been adding sessions, so I am doing like Sunday runs over hills and then adding some tempo work, some 1K reps, like I traditionally probably would train. Just a whole lot more longer runs and longer days, so... You know, when I say I'm doing 160K, that might be in a 5-day period or in a 6-day period. So potential to run a lot more. I don't know if there's much more to say. It's definitely been tricky with work. I've been a bit hammered with work, but getting it all in, which is good.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, happy to hear that you kind of have you're not feeling any more like a bit of stress. Like you're actually feeling comfortable with that distance. How have you done, I suppose, the hill work as sessions for previous marathon blocks? Or is this something that you guys are playing with, and maybe in a marathon training you've done a shorter hill reps and now it's longer?
So after we talked, I kind of had talked to Dick about, you know, should we be doing hill reps? And the answer was no. And the way we've decided to do our hills this for the lead into Comrades is that all the long runs, anything over 20K, we're doing over hills. So whether that's climbing Mount Ainslie on the road, whether it's finding some nice, really long climbs within our actual long runs is the way I'm doing it. Now, in saying that, when I do those long climbs, I have a tendency when I do a hilly course to run it like a fartlek. So I don't just jog up the hill. I always kind of push up it a bit. So that's the way we're covering hills. So anytime we're running long, it has to have some long hill climbs in it. And that's the way we're getting them in rather than short hill reps or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I think, yeah, as we mentioned, like we kind of spoke about it being more of sustaining that energy. You know, you're not doing short, sharp stuff. It's, I know Lindsay Parry has also mentioned on his podcast that it's like that run is really, it's energy sapping, and you need to maintain that energy balance for as long as possible. So yeah, it's good. I'm glad you started adapting it. Like, it was so good to see that midweek long run this week. The first thing I clicked in was to check the elevation, but then also the highest peak climb, and I was like, yes, she's there, we're good.
I'm finding long climbs like at least 2 kilometers or whatever, just long slogs, and
and then how do you feel you're recovering off it? So say you do that Wednesday or Thursday, how are you feeling the next day? Like, okay, that's a great sign.
I think at 160k a week non-injured, the body feels great. So I'm desperate to run more, and I think because I'm not training like I would for a marathon, it's kind of like I'm kind of loving the running, just being able to do less intense stuff, but with a body that's not injured, I'm feeling good about it, and definitely not tired the next day or anything like that.
And I think, like, you're advocating for the strength work, right? Like, you're pretty much proving why to do it, especially on a course that's challenging, be it a marathon as well. Like, you're just actually, you're proving to people that it's really worth it. And everyone keeps going on about it, but I think the more people that actually do it and talk about it and then say that you're recovering well, again, it's pretty much evidence the point that that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, like I'm just limiting the, I do the strength work twice. I do it twice a week because that's what I've always kind of done, I guess. But definitely really like kind of adding in like the back squatting and things like that, and Olympic lifts, and really working on, you know, those big muscle groups. And I can definitely, I can feel my heel climbing really coming along. Like it feels good to climb. Yeah.
Cool. Wayne, any questions?
Yeah, Marty. So you were saying, I was just listening to you there. You start the hills and you sort of, are you saying you attack the hills or you run up them at real pace, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I usually do it. Yeah, I usually do attack the hills. Like, I'm not like threshold up them or anything like that. You know, at the bottom of the hill, I do work up the hills, and by the time I'm at the top, it's not just an easy jog. I do attack the hills. I have to, I'll just be honest. Yep.
Because that's how I used to do them. And then obviously with the training I've sort of incorporated in the last 2 years, I was told to do it the opposite way. Just it's something I didn't know, you know, and just watching the guys I've trained with, they're the opposite. They just canter up the hills. And, that's something that I had to change a bit. Was just not gas myself up. But,
just something that... I guess what I know where the peak is. So I guess...
Yep.
I guess it's not like I'm doing a rep or anything like that. Mm-hmm. What it is that I'm... consciously using all my cues that I have for heel running. So like I like to lengthen my stride. I don't increase my cadence. I like to lengthen stride and just, you know, arms nice and comfortable, my breathing. And then often what I mean is like I'll start at a pace, but by the top, you know, I can feel a little bit more gas, but I'm not like at full threshold or anything like that, or beyond threshold. because I think the way Dick's kind of thinking about this is that a lot of these runs is like sub threshold. So when I'm doing Canberra Marathon or Orange Marathon, that's the energy system I need to work. So I guess that's probably what I'm doing at training when I'm doing these long runs with heels. I'm working up them, but not at an intensity that is wild or anything like that. If that does that make any sense?
Yeah. I was just trying to see if you were more, if it was a controlled effort and more as, you know, so don't smash yourself going up it. But no, if it's controlled, yep, you're onto it.
Yeah, controlled effort, but I'm not, you know, taking the foot completely off the pedal and jogging up and having a heart rate of 120. You know, I'm probably sitting more at starting at 145 and then maybe gradually going up to 155, 160 kind of thing. Cool. So, yeah.
Because I think the big thing, like I would, even when I'm talking to like a sub 11 hour runner, is also to practice running over the hill. Because a lot of the times those slower runners where they'll lose time, oh, there's a hill, let's walk. You know, like it's actually, you need to be getting to the top and then running over it. And that's something that I think as you go slower in the field, it's really lost because it's like, I'm going to butcher myself. So I'll walk this hill and then I'll run over the top. It's like, well, actually have a sustained effort or even drop the effort, but run and then run over the top and then continue on.
Yeah. So I don't stop at top of hills. And I think that's been ingrained in me since I was 8 years old of how I've always trained is that hill doesn't stop until you're over the top on the other side. And you don't need to slow down because you'll recover by the time you're halfway down the other side. So definitely that's one of my mental cues is up and over is like a little saying I'll say when I'm running hills is always up and over. I think everyone should use that. Yeah.
And I think like much to Wayne's point is, you know, I think I sent that profile to you like, and I broke it into three. And looking at that, it could be quite daunting, right? When you look at it and go, oh boy, it was hilly, but this is actually really hilly. And it's those sustained efforts of going, okay, I'm going to go up Cowies Hill. And then I'm probably only going to get a few more K, let's look more than a few. And then I'm going up a 3K climb again. And I think that's where it probably catches people because if you ran it as a marathon with hills, you're hammering over the first one, then you're hammering over the next one. And then eventually that game plan catches up to people.
You lose your money.
I think we lost it just in the middle of a really good answer. Then we'll catch it back up. There we go.
Hardest half constant is that first, but I don't know physically what's like. But it looked was the first half.
First half, the hardest, pretty much labeled as like the hardest first half of the marathon.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're good.
Sorry. Yeah, when I saw that and then I looked at the elevation, I think that's when I started to like, shit, I need to find some more hills to run. I don't know how, Wayne, how do I hold, like, do you make up time in the back end, like, to get an overall average time? Like, what the hell happens? Like, how do I hold the pace
up that first 15? I think money, that's what everyone wants to do, but that's the aim of the aim is to get to halfway and feel like you feel fresh. That's what you want ultimately.
And then I'm sure able to make up time or
You certainly can. That's exactly what happened to Heather Stain in the last up run. She did exactly that. She negative split. She had an incredible and she obviously smashed the record. So that's why it's so important just to look after yourself in those first leading up to Drummond. Yeah. So it's you'll know it, but money as you're climbing, you'll go, okay, that's what they were talking about. Yep, you'll know not to push and stick to your pace.
So tell me, like the differential. I'm probably digressing on the for what the questions we were going to talk about, but I want to know what the differential is. So in that first 50, for Gerda's time, what was her average K pace? And then for the last half, what was her average K pace? Because I'm sure that you know this.
Yes, so she went through halfway last year, which is in 43, exactly 43 kilometers, or 43.06. She went through in 3 hours and 2 minutes. So if you look at the average, that's about 4 minutes and
that's 4 minutes 12.
4 minutes 12, yeah. Something like that, yeah. And then she she brought it down to close to 4 minutes in the second half. And the second half this last year, into the last up run was 800 meters longer, as we know now. So yeah, but you can make up time in that second half. So she ran much quicker or a few minutes quicker in that second half. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're losing your mind.
Yeah. This is okay. Good to know. Good to such a country. Can you hear me now? Sorry, guys.
Yeah, you're all good. No, it's all right.
Come back. But
I think these are the realistic things you need to start asking yourself, because, and that's the challenge any international runner who goes there faces, is you can watch this 100 times, but until you, or experience it, or even just drive it, or you kind of go, and that's why I kind of, if you're not driving it a month before, I wouldn't even drive it a day before, because that's just going to almost move your goalposts, or it's going to rattle you. Yeah, it's one. And speaking to some of the other guys, you know, Ash Watson going, when I've interviewed him previously, they've kind of mentioned the whole thing of like the first time was almost like a sighter, like you go with ambitions, but then you kind of go, well, now I've got to come and do it again. But the thing with comrades is you're not going to do the same direction again the next year. That only so you actually got to go back three times to go, and if you want to do any sort of redemption kind of thing. So, yeah, there's so much that's in the hands of the gods too. Like, you could be really conservative in training and have an unbelievable day, or you could be really aggressive in training, have a horrific, like Katrina Jennings, who we've had on previously, Wayne. In her first comrades, she ran that same year, Marnie, that Gerda did, and she went out hard.
Yep.
Like, she went out really hard.
Mm.
And if you watch comrades 2019 back, there's a point where she looks like she's about to fall over on the vision. Like, destroyed. Like, absolutely destroyed. But she came good again. Wayne caught her on Polly Shorts. So I think it's just one of those things where it's going to come and get you regardless, but it's how you handle that when it comes to get you.
Yeah. That's something to like visualize, I suppose, getting closer to the race.
But, yeah. Like, she's probably a good one if you like, I can get you in touch with her. Like, because she went out for the first time, she's done 50s, done hundreds and ultras. And I think she took a lot out of that first one. I'd say so, Wayne, like, just even from talking to her, there was a lot of learnings in that first comrades.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, like, I'm definitely not gonna, I think I've like talking to you guys is not to go out too hard.
Absolutely.
I'm definitely too scared to do that, I think.
But I think also
that's the way to go.
The beauty, but also challenge that you face in the female race is you don't tend to run together. The females almost tend to really, there's no cluster of females. There will be the massive cluster of men, which you've spoken about experiencing before, but they will be so cyclical. There'll be 10Ks gone, another 10Ks, new lot, 10Ks gone. But that'll also distract you a lot. So I think that'll probably take a lot of what's going on around you away from the thinking. And within those groups of guys, there'll be guys who have run really good comrades times. So you'll know early, there'll be guys who are previous gold medalists who are now, you know, they're really consistent comrades finishers that have dropped back slightly. If you find one of them, just kind of hang on. I think, Wayne, you'd probably know those kind of guys who... Yeah, they're perennial gold medalists for years, and then now they're over time, because a new lot have come through, and they tend to finish with the top 10 female still.
But they can still put it out there, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Wayne, what have you got? I know you've got a marathon on Sunday as well, but how's the last month gone?
Oh, last month has been absolutely awesome. I think all the work, the hard work that I in the prep that I put in the last few months, just getting stronger. I can definitely feel the dividends start to pay off now. I also think I've gained a heck of a lot of good stuff, good endurance out of doing that 100K, because I got no ill effects from doing that. So I definitely, the body wants to go. I thought I'd have a bit of a small recovery period, but no, it wanted to go. I could feel it. So I definitely had some good gains from that. In saying that, the month of March has been an awesome. So that's my platform. It's always laid there, including 2 weeks at work. Again, during March, we don't do any double run days. Our double runs only come in 2 weeks' time, so we don't touch them. That's pure strategic. That's just obviously part of the progressive phase in terms of making sure we send the right signals when we need to. March has been awesome. I've racked up quite a few Ks. I've been up for almost 2 weeks, and I've had two massive weeks at home. My mileage has been a lot more than usual. Just to let you guys and the viewers know, so I've only just made the decision because I've been getting a lot of I wouldn't say pressure, but lots of encouragement from my teammates back in South Africa. So we've decided to join them. So I'm leaving. I go back to work next week, but I do a short stint and then I'm off to South Africa for 6 weeks, where I'll be joining them in the camp. So we're full on training as we speak. So I'm on the same program. We are basically neck and neck in terms of where we need to be. The mileage is ramped up and the body's handling it beautifully. Obviously, just working through my heel phase in terms of making sure I sort of or getting the right signals to the body to ensure that I'm climbing well enough. 2019 seems like a long time ago, but the race is still fresh in my memory, which is an awesome thing. And as Owen says, I'm sure many of you are aware, we've got 64 days and 16 hours to go to comrades. So it's really not long. We're basically got 2 months of solid training left. And as Fordyce used to always say, the race itself, it's got to be the cherry on top. It's got to be the part that you enjoy. The training is not easy. When I look at it now, I obviously say to myself, my goodness, can I keep doing these year after year after year? So it's now that time when you start to rack up the mileage, and you're definitely starting to drive through in terms of making sure you gain elevation. As Owen said, I've also got a marathon this Sunday. I won't be racing it, but obviously I'm going out there to enjoy it. I'll sit off the pack if there's a pack. I don't even know who will be there, but yeah, I'm just going to go and enjoy a run because I believe it's quite an undulating course too. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity. I leave tomorrow, and I'll come back shortly after that. So yeah, the distance is definitely we're in comrades training now. That's for sure. And looking forward to the next few weeks that are coming in. We've definitely got. Obviously, the best part of the training is coming now. This is where we start to knuckle down. And I think the upside to all of this is that I obviously know what's coming this time, so I can sort of mentally prepare myself for it. Also, Owen, we've had lots of interested listeners, and as you're aware, there's some first-time listeners, and and some listeners have been with us for a while, but yeah, they're keen to see where this is going and how it's going. And everyone is keen because they all seem to have said that they've gotten what the uprun seems to be like. So obviously, I'm sure Owen will touch on it, but the announcement was made. This will be the shortest Comrades, certainly the shortest uprun we've seen, yet alone Comrades. So just short of 86K, and it's pretty even, the halves, 43 through first, and just over Mathen through the second. So that's got me excited because I definitely know, I think the confidence I've got from the last two Comrades, I'm not afraid to say that I'm confident of achieving, you know, what I set out to do. Obviously, we'll just gauge by how we go for the next 6 to 8 weeks. But I'm excited. Can't wait. Owen's really excited. Yeah, it's like, you know, putting hay in the barn, as you use that term frequently, Owen. That's what we're doing. We're just stacking it into the barn. And then, we just sort of lean towards it. Another interesting point, Owen, is the guys I train with, none of them are doing two oceans this year because, it's proved that it's tough to race both of them. So, yeah, I was asked to pass my regards over to you too because they've been keeping an eye on you. it'll be an interesting to see who actually, I know I had the Slains there, but just to see who actually also races two oceans. Oh, that'll be an interesting one. So, yeah, can't wait to get into the meat of Comrades training.
Yeah, that's an interesting approach because normally they'll go along even for a long run. I'm not sure if I shared the video with you guys, but the previous winner of Comrades was running a 50K in a tracksuit, and I think it shows the seriousness of taking it easy, like the real seriousness. On you though, so when you say you're pretty comparable to where they are, that so you just get the plan and then this is what you do based on around your surroundings? So, you know, CBD Brisbane, basically. Mm-hmm. Does that matter? Or it's very much just if it's a two-hour run, you go do a two-hour run based on where you live? Or do you seek out, like, something that can just give you some stimulus?
Yeah, so what I mean is, so what Coach has said is basically he tries and model my program on exactly what the guys have. So we've got the same program, all of us. But, again, it's just so that when I join them, I'm able to match not just the intensity, but obviously I can handle the load, which is what we look at. So obviously a midweek hilly run is sort of what they do, and that's what I do, the same thing. We'll go for a two-hour run. They'll do a two-hour run, I'll do a two-hour run. Or on a Sunday, I'll do a four-hour run, they'll do a four-hour run. And then obviously we also do, that's another thing Marnie mentioned, she just chases hilly. We also do some flat, just tempo work as well. So that's important because he likes to keep that speed endurance where it needs to be. It's making sure that I'm on the same level that they are at, so that when I join them, I'm able to not just match the intensity but handle the load, which is key. And that's how obviously my program is slightly different because of my 2 week stint at work, Owen. So obviously it's designed to, because I can't match it whilst I'm there. So it's designed to maximize my 2 week break.
At home.
Yeah, at home, spot on. That's it, Owen.
So Marnie, just for some insight for you and also the listeners, majority of Wayne's teammates will go to a place called Dahlstrom, and that's where a lot of the elite Comrades groups will go. And it's basically like,
I'm jealous, Wayne.
Yeah, it's almost like what's it called, where a lot of the Australian runners, I've just had a massive blank, will go and you just train, and it's
an old down in Victoria.
Yeah, so that's what it is, Marnie. So and it's, I suppose it's a breeding ground. That's where everyone goes because all the champions come out of there. They get together. They can lose distractions. It's simple living. And then they essentially come down from the mountain at the last minute because of the altitude as well.
That's it.
Yeah. But then, Wayne, they're not there yet, right?
No. So I joined them. Right. I'll be with them 2 weeks in Joburg. And then the last month, we head up to camp, second week of May. So we go to, second week of May, and we only come down to sea level 4 days before. So that's the most effective. It
have you done 100%. This before, Wayne?
Yes, have I did it last 2 years. It's a science, and that's the key to obviously a totally different ball game because the air's thin out there, but it just makes, and that's why I'm so excited because I didn't do this in 2019 at the last up run. So that's what gives me just a lot of confidence going forward because I know and you get it's some of the hardest work you'll ever do anyway. Whilst it is, it's not a holiday camp, Moni, let's put it that way.
No.
But I think it's like removing the distractions.
Yes, well. absolutely.
And what's the elevation?
2,100 meters.
2,100, Perfect.
Yeah. And again, I think it's good to show. And, you know, there's people that, again, in February, were absolutely rinsing themselves, like sub-11, 12-hour finishes. And these guys, okay, different level even on terms of availability to train and lifestyle, but they're only moving into that real specific phase soon. And I think we've spoken about it previously where you can't do this from the 1st of January because let alone mentally, you're going to absolutely fry yourself, but physically this is not sustainable either. So no temptation for Two Oceans, Wayne?
No, absolutely not. I remember last year it sort of worked out because I even then, Owen, that's why I said to you, and even that's the one piece of advice, just put that in the back of your mind. The first 21, 22 days is, in my opinion, is flat, pancake flat. So just look after yourself, Owen, because it's usually tempting to just say, nah, this is way too easy. So just look after yourself then, because I think that would be the key. The amount of times I had to spank myself off the top of my head and say, oi, settle, because you just want to go. So I think it would be too tempting. So I'm just staying well away.
That's exactly what I said to Marnie before you joined us. I was like, that first half is going to be key. It's just absolutely raining in.
What pace will you go out at? That's what I want to know.
Overall aim will be to finish in 4.5 to 4:45. So, and that's the catch with these type of races, Marnie, is your long run is just around 5 minute Ks. So, it's not actually that much of a change. So, the important part.
So, what pace is that? Like, for if you go 4 hour, whatever, what is that K pace? Because I'm just looking at Strava.
Well, I'm going to go out at 4:45s.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, that's going to be well within. But that's good because I want to be able to get to 40K and go, okay, like we've got to 40K and then know that there's going to be some real hard work till we finish. But I don't want to be getting to 40K and looking for a hole. So I think that's for the enjoyment factor too. They call it the world's most beautiful race. So to actually take all that in, I think it's going to give me the overall. But I know I'll be going back here. I know that I'm going to be going back to Two Oceans one day and absolutely wanting to race this. And this is going to be the flag to chase, as you probably will with comrades. You'll get there and you'll have an amazing one, but then you'll go, right, I want to go back and chase this one.
So
if you want that 4:45 average, does that mean you go out at like 4:30 and then finish in 5 minute pace, or
because you said I go 4:45s? I want to run negative split too, so that'll be the holy grail if I can.
Always everyone's holy grail for distance running is to run a negative split.
Yeah, but even more so in these ultras. Like if you can run a negative split at Oceans, Two Oceans. As even a silver medal is harder than a comrade silver medal. Like a South African would classify you as a real runner if you ran a Two Ocean silver compared to a comrade silver.
That's true. Yep.
It's maybe that kind of
next year's goal, Wayne. We'll do two oceans.
I'd like to. I did it last year, but I'd like to. I'll set your own. Yeah, I'd like to someday have a race. Obviously, if I'm not doing comrades, have a good go at it. So I enjoyed an awesome run last year. I absolutely enjoyed it. I smashed through the second half. That was my aim. But I had to. Yeah, again, you've got to behave yourself in that race. That's the hard part.
I just don't want to be in the gutter at 50K. Like, because that could really happen if you jump into it. And it's awkward now because they've changed it to, it's not gun to gun. So all South African races like Comrades used to be gun to gun. But post-COVID, Two Oceans have gone with wave starts.
Waves.
And it's the waves of 1,000. So you're potentially in a wave that A, might be too slow, or a wave that might be just too fast. So that'll be the challenge early as well.
Got to be careful.
Yeah. But yeah, that's like mine. My month's been great. Got through the long runs. Nutrition is perfect, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now I've just got to go there and execute it. Don't stuff up the taper is the key. Get over there and settle in. But I like the fact that there's going to be a lot of distraction. So having the family come with, that'll be a good distraction where get out in the morning, do your jog, and then the day is away from running. Whereas I think when you tend to travel by yourself, you still have this thing at the front of your mind the whole time. And Cape Town being the way it is, there's also a lot to do, but then you need to remind yourself you can't do it all. So
can't do too much.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of the challenge, because when you go somewhere and you're taking people who have never been, you kind of want to show them everything, and especially when you take kids, you kind of want to, you know, see that happiness through their faces. So that'll be the challenge, just to rein it in a little bit. But it is in the hands of the gods now. You'll be able to debrief. Hopefully it's not a real somber gutter debrief in April. But, and I think substitution for comrades will close by then, Wayne, so there won't be a chance of a quick backup.
But hey,
I'll see. I think I like thinking ahead, which I never do before I do one race. I think I want to see how I go in a marathon off the back of this, because I've looked back on my training diary and this campaign's been going 22 weeks. So I counted even the mile heel reps that we've been doing, and I did 118 of those in this whole campaign. So things like that, you know, like putting that into now a marathon block where you can bring it as close to that 3-hour mark would be pretty good, I think. So
nice. Yeah,
that's a different story for another day. Let's quickly, I know that we're all going into races and you guys this week, I wanted to kind of touch on the nutrition side. So do you want to kind of go around again, Marnie? I know you kind of want to jump off soon, but do you want to kind of tell us what your week looks like leading into even a goal race, and if it's different to this week, and what you, like going into an ultra, is that any different?
So, you know what we've kind of done going into these ultras, I guess going all the way back from to Gold Coast 50, is we've kept the diet the same. So previously in like marathon blocks the last week, I'd go low carb the first half of the week, high protein, and then at the halfway point, so like Wednesday evening after your midweek run, like a longer midweek run, but we use switch over to high carb, low protein, so anything essentially that is white, eat. But for all this ultra stuff that I've kind of switched to, literally just keeping the diet exactly the same. So I just eat like a whole lot of everything in moderation. I'm probably more likely to lay off the meat towards the getting closer to the race, just because I don't want that just sitting in my gut. But I just eat everything in moderation and no real change in the diet, just a little, which has seemed to be working.
I don't know whether they like to quietly cheer, but just because I do similar. So what you do is called Sultan. Well, that's what a lot of people call it, right? The Sultan diet. So you deplete your carb stores to start the week. And then the idea is you then really top up as it gets closer. And I've used it for a lot of the most recent races. So it's actually nice. I haven't come across many people that have recently been doing it. So it's nice to hear that you're also so very similar.
Dickie's like pretty, like he's all about it. Like we've done it. That's just what we do. Less severe though. Like I think for the ultras, I've been less severe about it. So more of the way we describe it is on the plate, you're going to have more protein than carbs, but you're not completely carb depleted. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then there's a switch on your plate to less protein, more carbs in the percentage if you're thinking your plate is a circle. Does that make sense? Yeah,
definitely. And I know that a lot of the South African ultra runners have used it previously. I know Nick Bester was one. He was a big advocate. Bruce Fordyce was a big advocate for it, actually, Wayne. And they would go really, they'd do hard sessions to start the week to really deplete and then kind of come in pretty hard. Ultras have been similar, so I kind of think, we're pretty much the same. And then coming out of it is also intriguing. So now you're running this as like a training run. What do you already implement, and do you find you feel hungrier to start the week after a long run, or does it hit you midweek, or it doesn't really impact you at all?
So after a long run, after the marathon, I'm a bit like that day, I'm a bit liquid diet, or after a very long run, I struggle to eat. So I just have liquid essentially. So until the evening, and then I'll eat a proper meal at the evening. And I know that's probably not great, but what I try and do is just have like protein shakes or whatever I can to get anything in. And that's obviously like that might be chocolate flavored milk as well, because then you've got the sugar and things like that. My guts just don't, like, I don't have any issues running while I'm running with my guts, but afterwards I just don't feel like a big meal. And then I just have dinner and then I'm just back into normal. It's no change. I just eat when I'm hungry. Yeah.
The only reason I ask is because it tends to kind of catch me, like even on a Tuesday, I'll find that my appetite will just be racing if I've had like a big weekend back to back.
Yeah, right. There's other than just I'm a bit more liquid for a hot minute until the evening, there's like I just eat not just unchanged, completely unchanged.
And then on a long run or a race, or even like midweek, what are you consuming and how much, and does it change like this Sunday because you're not technically racing it? Would it be different if you were racing it?
No, I'll do exactly the same as I always do, even though I'm not racing it. So I'll do, I'll have more carbs in the back end of the week. Morning off, I just have like a little waffle or it depends how early it is. So probably, and I'm at home, so I'm able to have a waffle, but other than that, a Red Bull, and then I just crack on with the race and, it'll just, as I say, I like to keep everything really the same. I don't change too much, but except for race week, I do that switch in the proteins and carbs. And I'll probably do that a little bit for this, but not as seriously. And then afterwards, I just seriously don't change anything. The issue is with working, I think you're kind of hitting on a flaw that I've got. When I work 10-hour shifts, I sometimes it's difficult to eat. I might just get breakfast and then I might not get a break until 4 p.m. and be able to eat at that point. So that's a bit tricky with like trying to fit in all the calories with work. I don't know if I'm answering the question.
That's just good insight. How have you figured out what and how much to take? Like, did you go and see somebody, or was it just what has worked?
Is it all gels?
For the race?
Lollies. Yeah, even long run, like whatever. I suppose because people just like to get an insight, you know, on race day. Yeah. Will you trial things this Sunday as well?
Yep. So what I like to do is if I'm – it depends on what the race is and what is available. So if I have – if I'm able to take on liquid nutrition with Elite Tables, then I will have like a your carbohydrate drink. So I just use – I use Gura Actane because I like it, powder. And then every 5K I'll probably have like every 5K I have like 10 to 12 grams of carbohydrate, I think I've worked it out to be. It ends up being about a gram. It ends up being like – I end up getting like between 50 and 60 grams per hour. So I just work out my bottles on that and take in – that bottle, like 100 mil, I work it up to a volume of 100 mil every 5K. However, with marathons that I can't rely on Elite Tables, then I take a gel every 9K and course water wherever I can. Yeah. So that's, I don't change that. And that seems to work for me. Sometimes I get to my last gel and I don't feel like it, and that's okay. I just might have half. As far as long runs, the way I work is I very much under fuel for long runs. I just, the only reason I'm taking fuel is one, to recover for the next day, and two, to get, make sure my gut is still happy and training itself. So if I do a 35K run, I know I only take two gels on a 35K run. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So more definitely long run and a long race is the amount of carbs is like you can't even compare. Yeah. So I'm probably fat burning a little bit more on training, but the only reason I'm taking the gel is literally just to train my gut. Yeah. I'd be happy to take them. Yeah.
I never tried with like food sources, you know, like
no, but I need to
find them things like.
No, and I don't know what to do. Like, Dick and I have talked about it, that obviously the, because it's a lower pace, the potential to be able to get more in the stomach is going to be higher. But I don't know. Do you do that, like, in the race, Wayne? Do you eat a hot cross bun, or what do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. No, mine, because I'm... If I switch, can I switch? Because mine is a little different to yours, Marnie. We use become more efficient at fat burning. So my diet's low carb, high fat. I've had a question from two people in particular. Warren Ralphs, he's probably going to listen to this as well, because he asked me from the last one, how were you able to consume just two carbs in 100K as two gels, and survive in a carb thing? And that's because when you enter that fat burning zone or that sweet zone, you don't need the high glycemic carbs, so that's why even on Sunday I did my first sort of long 4.5 hour run, and I had no gels. I just had half hour crisp bun, one peanut butter slug, and a 300 ml carb drink, and water, and that's all I needed for 56k. Again, I wasn't.
How many grams is in the carb drink?
Oh, not much at all. So in that carb drink, I've got half of that. So it's probably it's about 50 grams in total, I think. But I'm just all I'm doing is just sucking on it. No, I'm not smashing the whole thing. I just suck on it every 7 or 8K. I take a slug and that's it. Just run it through my mouth and digest it. But because I know I'm in that fat burning. And I can see it. I've got a heart rate monitor on. I can see I'm not burning the candle. So I know exactly where I'm at. I don't need the look. And obviously, it's a lot slower. My long runs are very, very controlled, a lot slower. So I'm constantly fat burning. I've been teaching the body that, you know, and obviously, look, it's a totally different game when you do a fast half marathon or a fast marathon. You know, I need a lot more. I need a lot more fuel then because the pace is much quicker. So with Comrades, the secret, well, I feel it's not a secret, but you know, to get the nutrition right, you have to practice it in training, and the body's got to know what it's about. So I don't draw on too many carbs, and I know leading up to it, and that's why my diet is focused on, I still need the carb, but I'm all low carb. So, you know, sweet potatoes, brown rice, I'm eating plenty of that, and plenty of fat. So I'm taking all that in, smash up with butter and everything, and hot cross buns, I live on those. But yeah, that's basically everything that my diet revolves around. The high glycemic carbs is obviously, like Owen said, strategic. We do load up on them, but we'll specifically load up for them when we know. We do a full depletion race week, and we smashed and started loading up about 4 days before. It's no secret, Fordyce uses it best as our manager, and he's the biggest advocate for it, you know. And it works. So, yeah, you know, obviously, comrades come race day, you don't want to get into that red zone at all. So you've got to climb the hills and know the energy is good. And, yeah, I mean, when I first started running comrades, I used to have 8 to 10 gels. Now I can't even, I don't even have 4. And, you know, I can feel, yeah, definitely don't need that sort of fuel. So, yeah, low carb, high fat, it's the way to go. I do advocate recovery drinks money. I'm big on that. I smash into those. Yeah. I'll get that straight into me, including creatine. We take creatine as a post-run. We'll put that into us as well. And we smash recovery drinks as well. So we get into that. Unlike you, Mani, after our long runs, we're extremely hungry, so we eat a lot. So, look, not straight away, but certainly an hour after that, you definitely you need to put something into the tank.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's sort of the diet that I've been following for the last few years, and it's been very successful. I've seen the difference. So you just become a fat burning machine. You can feel it, and the body knows when it's a bit sluggish, it needs a little bit more, which is why, you know, I've got, again, the peanut butter slugs work for me, but if anything works, and if we're struggling, and it's no secret, Dave, we use, just, I'm sure you've seen the snakes, we all keep snakes on us, it's just little, you know, some lollies, and then if you feel you're a bit low on it, you just, you know, just suck them on, and yeah, it just picks you right back up. So yeah, there's no real big secrets, but I think the big thing is getting the body used to it in the lead up to the big day. That's the key.
I think hot cross bun. I'm just
thinking about it. Well, you're gonna be surprised some of the things you're gonna see on that race.
I was just gonna say, Owen, you took the words out of my mouth. I think Money's in for a lot of, she's gonna school on June the 9th, she'll be, what the heck's that? What's that?
I think one of the best things I ever had in my first comrades was a slice of bacon. And this poor girl put a tray out waiting for her dad, and I don't think her dad got any of it because the one is just absolutely went to town. And that's the beauty of being international.
The science of, like, bacon. Your body can't break that down by the time the race is over.
But I think it's also the salt factor. So
salt. Yeah, I was just gonna say,
like, if you're on the, if you're gonna be on the road for 11.5 to 11:50 hours, you start craving random things. Like, I know personally, one of the things on the last 3 down runs that I've had with 7Ks to goes is a swig of beer, because it's just been a different, like, taste that I've had. I've had gels all day, Gatorade, whatever you name it. And that's just that, like Coke, you're going to look at comrades and go, people are just going nuts on Coke here, because that, again, is the change, because that's giving you your boost, that getting that instant sugar and carbohydrate hit after having 20 gels, you just know when I have the 21st one. So I'll tend to switch pretty much from 65, 70K is when I'll move away from that reliance on gels on comrades day, because by then I've had about 8 to 10, and you get to the point where you go, right, I need to get a banana in or grab some lollies on the table, or because you just get to a point where you just can't throw another gel down. And I always leave Coke until the last almost 20Ks, because that's my reward to get to that point. And it literally might even just be a capful or, you know, a quarter of a cup, just as that reward of like the cold hit of that instant sugar. Now, different for you guys, where you're pretty much done by lunchtime. And I found my last comrades, when I was done a lot earlier, I relied a lot more on my own gels. But for those people who are out there for 11 and a half, 12 hours, remember, they've got to have breakfast before the race. They have lunch while they're on the run, and then they're finishing just before dinner time. So they literally are having, like, you'll pack a sandwich. So a lot of people are finishing post 10 hours will have a sandwich in the first 4 or 5 hours, or their second will have a sandwich for them, or a bratwurst roll. And so a real different kind of ball game. Because I think it comes down to this cravings, and a piece of bratwurst will give you instant salt, opposed to taking like a salt stick. Like, you might take a salt tablet because it's quicker and you can get it in and go, whereas they will prefer to suck on a piece of bratwurst for 20 minutes.
All right. There's
runners known of going through a Macca's and getting some chips, or you'll see them with an ice cream. And it's probably just even the mental side, where you've got an ice block and you can hold on to that for 15 minutes and it will take away what you're going through if you're having a rough section. And like, no nutritional benefit, but it's more the mental benefit that's there. Anyway, you're going to see some things, but we'll leave those for race day for you to see them. I'll go quickly. So for me, I rely on 1 gram per kilogram of body weight per hour. That's mine. So I went to a sports dietitian, and David pretty much saw what I ate. I kept a diary for weeks before and then went in, and he was like, yeah, we need to change this up. I'm 6'3". Wayne's, we've hung out together a few times, and you're probably a test, Wayne. I need more. I'm not your stock standard. So I can't skimp, even on a normal daily basis. If I skimp out, it comes to get me. If I'm doing an afternoon run, or if I've done a morning run, I'm going to crash by the middle of the day. So I kind of go, yeah, for me, it's high importance to be able to hit even like a little bit of the daily mileage for me. I need to make sure that my colleagues must look at me and go, this guy is consistently eating. So I probably have like 5 unofficial meals, like with my actual official meals throughout the day, just to get through. I've got a big reliance on hydration. So I probably have minimum 2 liters of electrolyte a day, just to keep that balance.
Every
day? Yeah, it would be. So my goal is to pretty much, from the minute I finish a morning session to by the time I would get to work, is have finished about a liter and a bit of electrolyte, just to recapture what I lost on the session. And then I normally throw a bottle of electrolyte in after lunch to kind of prepare me for the next day. I've got a big sweat rate. It's hot. I don't think we've had rain all year. And I just know that I won't sleep well if I'm dehydrated, and then that doesn't go well for the next session. I've started to also, this is one of my running mates tipped me into, that is, I actually been carrying a collapsible flask and having some electrolyte in that, and halfway through my long run, filling that up to take it. And that way I'm not waiting till the end of my long run to start recapturing what I've lost. So I've almost started that process mid-long run, which I think a lot of runners, you know, maybe take that on board as well, if you've got a big sweat rate or a big reliance on fluid. Because I can go, I can go 2 hours without drinking anything, and I'm fine. But I find that middle of that day, you almost feel hungover. So on the run, you're fine. But it comes back and gets you later in that day. So I've just found hydration is I've used the same hydration supplement for 10 years, and it's never Wayne uses them underground. So if it's good enough for those guys, I think it's good enough for me. I'll probably take some I take a gel every 30 to 40 minutes on a long run. And this campaign was the first time I started taking one on a midweek long run. And just purely for the recovery point that you mentioned, Marnie. You know, if I've got 20 minutes left and I'm due to take a gel, I take a gel because that's carbs and it's preparing you to recover to go again tomorrow.
How long is the midweek long run? Just out of curiosity.
Up to 90 minutes to 2 hours. And I could do that. I get straight out of bed, out the door and gone normally. Always. I've always just done that. So now I'm still doing that, out the door, shoes on and away I go, but I'll take something halfway through that.
So yeah, right, that makes sense if you don't have breakfast.
Yeah, so all my morning runs, opposed to my long run, I don't have anything before.
Yeah.
Like nothing. Even like sessions, I won't have anything. But for the midweek long run, definitely take a gel midway through. So, yeah, it's not like, I don't know. I just think for me, it's, and I say this to anybody who asks me, I want to give myself the best opportunity. And if it's going to be nutrition that lets me down on the day, I know that you can fix that. You know, there's a lot of runners out there that they put everything into the actual physical side and whatever, but then the nutrition, they just leave it. And you sit there and go, geez, you could have run 20 minutes faster, or who knows what you could do.
Yeah.
And it's something that is so basic, but you're just neglecting it. And it's not a tough sticker, right? Like, it's not like, oh, I'm tough, I don't have anything on my long run. Well, actually, if you did, you could have run half an hour to an hour faster.
Want to bonk. I've bonked. Bonking is bad.
I don't know. That and strength training seem to be the two most neglected, but also the two most available options in running. Like, people go out and buy a $400 pair of running shoes, but they'll worry about buying a $4.50 gel. Like, I think that's the part that gets me on a weekly basis. Everyone's like, oh, I don't want to waste money on a gel. And you're like, if this is your thing, you know, like, this is your hobby and your love, but you don't want to buy what actually is going to help you. I don't know.
Training your gut is so important. Like, it needs to be seamless. So whatever you do during the week, you do on the race day, like, it needs, your gut just needs to know how to work. But I think if people don't train that, and then they either increase or don't do nutrition, then that's where it all goes wrong on race day.
Yeah. And you don't need to see anybody's spectacular. Like, all this stuff is readily available. You know, like, it's all, nothing's changed in this space really, other than gels becoming better. I think just give in to the should I or shouldn't I, because this is really not a money-making scheme. It's more about your performance, to be honest. Yeah. But we'll be talking about it next year, the year after too.
No, you hit the nail on the head there, Owen. It's a point that lots of, you know, marathoners or ultra distance runners, they sort of neglect. Anyone who's reasonably trained will feel good in that first half, you know. It's that second half that's key, and that's where you want to make sure that you get it right, you know. And you know you're in good shape when you obviously power through and you can feel, hey, hang on, what I'm taking on board is working, you know. Because I've run with guys and I can literally feel the energy dissipate from them. I can feel it. The breathing gets heavy, they're starting to spit more than they normally. Things are going wrong. You can see it. And then, you know, the proverbial wall hits them. They don't even say anything. You can sense they're going to go. You know, obviously you're just taking in constantly and you see the block next year is doing nothing. So, you know, it's just a matter of time. But that's what experience brings. You can see it. You're going, all right, you're going to be in trouble soon. So, you hit the nail on the head there, and I couldn't advocate for more, you know. The two readily available are strength training and nutrition. And you need to get the combination, hit the sweet spot, which is what you saw what happened to the run-up at Comrades last year, Owen. It's a story that we've all heard about, you know. He missed a few water bottles, a few of his drink bottles, and hindsight, he looks back at things. It would have been a totally different race if he got all of them, you know. So,
yeah.
It's an interesting point. By the way, he's running this Sunday too. Pete will keep an eye on him, see how he's tracking.
All right, I think we're good, guys. Yeah, everyone will be going into the depths of Comrades Hell, I think, for the next few weeks. Scarver should light up and it'll be some good viewing.
Oh, and don't forget the 85.91. That's what we got. That's our goal.
That is the distance. So only 800 meters shorter, Wayne. But
800 meters shorter, Top of Polly's is at 79K instead of 80. So 7Ks from there. And I think the big change is that I'm Lazarov. That's where the change is.
Yeah, actually, before we go, that's quite a big change. So traditionally, the highest point, Marnie, you'd be going around it. So there'll be a detour this year from all reports. So that'll be quite interesting as well. But I think more information will probably come out in the few weeks. So, yeah, you now no longer really go over the highest point of the race.
It goes around.
A few people would breathe a sigh of relief, but the highest point by that time, everything's the highest point probably. So, all right. All the best to you guys for the weekend. Marnie, enjoy pacing that 3-hour bus.
I'll jump on that. And then if I feel good, I'll pick it up. But nothing too stressful.
Put a few to the sword in that back half, I'm sure. So,
leave the ego at the door.
You'll start with about 50, I reckon. And you'll come home with about 5. So
we'll see. Hopefully drag a few people along. It's a bit weird doing 3-hour marathons, but you definitely feel good after them, so that's it's a plus, I guess.
Well, when I'm ready, I'll give you the nod and you can take me through too. So
I'll be very proficient. Experience.
Cool. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Awesome.
Hope the listeners enjoy this one. Everyone have a good month.
Awesome.
Cheers.